It's now or never, your last chance to enjoy a small city, big summer event in historic downtown Whiting. And they're all shook up about this one. Join them for another Whiting Cruise Night on Wednesday, August 19th from 5 to 9 p.m. along 119th Street for an evening full of fun, music, and, of course, classic cars. So classic that this cruise night will feature Elvis's very own lost car, owned by the King of Rock and Roll himself till 1991. Elvis's mysterious custom Cadillac will be on display at the corner of Oliver and 119th to see. It ain't nothing but a good time for the entire family to enjoy. For more information, visit discoverwhiting.com.
Between the shores of the Chicago skyline and the sights of Michigan, there's a small city celebrating a big summer. The city of Whiting invites you to join in on the fun. Our star-studded summer is packed with famous characters, superstar mascots, classic cars, and musical favorites. There is something for everyone. Whiting Lakefront Park is the perfect backdrop for your memories, and 119th Street eateries and shops will add to your family fun all summer. Visit discoverwhiting.com for more details about the small city and big summer that await you in Whiting, Indiana.
If you're anything like I was, the thought of getting older was the last thing on your mind. But here we are. For me, it started slowly. The lack of energy. Never being in the mood. And when I was, I could never perform at my best. I tried the pills and other treatments with minimal results, and all but given up on my sex life. Then, I found the doctors at New Mayo Medical Center. Wow! They made a new male out of me. Feel like I'm 25 again. I have renewed vigor, so much more energy, and no longer worry about my performance. New Mayo treated me like my situation was one of a kind. With a custom treatment plan that really works, I feel great. They can create one for you too. It does not matter if you suffer from low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, or just want to last longer. New Mayo will help you.
Call New Mayo Medical Center today at 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. 847-852-4144. It will change your life. 847-852-4144.
Trial.
Bears fans, trust all of our shows and team of Bears experts to get you ready for the start of the season, along with Bears reports live from the practice field, breaking Bears news, and in-depth conversation with players and coaches, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR in HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Let's go! Scoreboard update.
From the Score Update Studio, I'm Nick Shepkowski. Cubs enter tonight 18 games over 500 and 4 games ahead of the San Francisco Giants for the second wild card spot in the National League. Quick interleague series for the Cubs this week against the Tigers. Jason Hamill, Anibal Sanchez in a pitching matchup. 7:05 start time tonight. Earlier today, Joe Madden was in studio with Spiegel and Goff. Says you can't worry about what the Pirates or Giants are doing right now.
If you always want to worry about the future and you're worried about what's going to happen bad, something bad's going to happen. If you stay right here right now, today's Tuesday, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to try to win Tuesday's game. And that's all I care about. I mean, everybody wants to make San Francisco a big series or Pittsburgh a big series or whatever a big series. I'm telling you, make Tuesday a big, just to have a one-game winning streak starting today, and I'll be happy with that.
670thescore.com to hear that interview in full. Cubs are in the, this will be the 11th of 17 straight in the city of Chicago for them. Sox are back in action this evening in Anaheim against the Angels again. John Danks, Garrett Richards in the pitching matchup there. Catch that game right here on 670 The Score later tonight. Bears practice today at Halas Hall. New depth chart released. Has rookie from Penn State Adrian Amos listed as a starting safety. Brock Vereen demoted to the second team. Bears are headed to Indianapolis to scrimmage the Colts for a couple days before Saturday's second preseason tilt. Tom Brady expected to attend a voluntary hearing tomorrow in front of Judge Richard Berman. In Blackhawks news, Philip Deneau had hip surgery today. He's expected to be out 4 months, and the team today also signed defenseman Nolan Velo from Bowling Green. College football, Notre Dame starting cornerback Kavari Russell fully cleared by the NCAA. I'm Nick Shepkowski, and you're listening to Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score at 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Motorworks. Nobody works like Motorworks to earn your business.
Moore's and Bernstein.
Dan and Terry, the killer bee.
Afternoons on The Score.
Welcome back. You know, another great opportunity for us here in Green Bay. So a lot of energy in the building, so I know everybody's excited.
Wilson toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Right there in front of us. We give a very good feeling that we got a good group of guys and we're going to get back to where we want to go. It's just about, as I continue to say, winning when it counts, and we're very close. So when we get back, hopefully that, you know, the reminder of last year is what we need to push forward.
On third down and 11, wide open
Jordy Nelson. They're not going to get him. Touchdown, Packers. 73-yard touchdown.
Well, I'm sure you guys have your own expectations, and odds makers do as well. But, you know, we have high expectations for ourselves, and we push each other to be great.
To the end zone. Touchdown and a dagger.
I'll take your questions about the upcoming exciting 2015 season in Green Bay.
Boars and Bernstein.
This is all a problem.
Chicago Sports
yes,
Radio 670, The Score.
303 Boys of Bernstein, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Probably have a little more bad news here for Bears fans.
Back we go to the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. And here, I'm sure, to provide some of the bad news in his honest responses is Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette on Twitter, at Pete Doherty. Hi, Pete.
What's going on today?
Well, we're just wondering if the Packers are bad. Is that at all possible, Pete? Is that in any way possible?
You know, it's pretty tough to be bad in the league when you have, you know, one of the best three or four quarterbacks. That gets you, what, 80% of there, mm-hmm. The way there, probably. So,
probably.
I think that most of the odds makers have them as the favorite, and I think the buyer probably should be about that high.
Reading about the change in the play calling this year, and I'm wondering how much of this is really not about the coach. It's more about an understanding that Aaron Rodgers is in full space command of his offensive world right now. And while there always has to be a voice in that speaker in the helmet, the level of trust is such that they know that that he can see what he needs to see and act accordingly.
Yeah, obviously that's got to be a huge, huge part of it, you know, for security for the coach. I asked Rodgers this offseason, basically I asked him, are you the de facto play caller because of the, you know, the latitude you get at the line of scrimmage? And he said no. He said, that you still need a really good starting point, and most play calls they have a couple different options off that. He always can call almost anything he wants if he really wants to, but... you know, he doesn't like to do that a lot. So he said it's still, you know, the play caller still matters for the starting point of each play. But I still have to think that, with the autonomy he has at the line of scrimmage, it's still, you know, he's not the de facto play caller, but he's the next best thing.
Why did McCarthy do it? I mean, what I can't remember. I read it at the time, but I can't remember exactly what he said, why he did this.
He says it was something he's been thinking about kicking around for a couple seasons, and he pointed to the Seattle opener last year where the Seahawks scored a touchdown. It was the first Monday night game, and the Seahawks scored a touchdown where the Packers only had 10 defensive players in the field, and McCarthy said the sideline communication wasn't good. Now, I still have to think that NFC Championship game played a role, ooh, too, with the special team stuff and all that, mm-hmm, where I think he wants to be more involved in those calls. So, that had to be an actor. But I do believe him when he says it's something he's been kicking around, but I'm sure that's what put it over the edge was that championship game.
Now, Pete, you mentioned special teams. That's actually was going to be my next question, because, boy, coaches hate the idea, the concept that special teams could be an Achilles heel. They hate the idea that of all things, they could sort of mentally process missed tackles or drop passes more than they can screw-ups in the punting game or the kicking game. So here to fix it all is Ron Zook.
Very hello familiar there to you guys, I'm sure. Yeah.
Hello there.
You know, I've always looked at special teams as, basically like that old medical oath, you know, first do no harm.
Right.
And so as long as you're not losing games, you're fine on special teams. And, you know, they had like four or five blocked kicks last year between punts and field goals and extra points, and none of them cost them in the regular season because they were all games they won, and several of them they won big. But then it all fell apart, and it did cost them in that championship game. It seems to me when I'm just reading through stuff about the league, you know, like you read the sites that collate all the news, mm-hmm, like, if the most popular guy in an NFL city is the backup quarterback, is the special teams coach, because
mm-hmm,
they almost could do no right. I mean,
Ron Zook's an idiot, though. I mean,
I don't think that's his business card.
And the fact is that now the head coach is obviously in charge. There's more difficult decisions this year. Special teams are tougher, and you've got this bonehead who all of a sudden has got responsibility.
Well, you know, it could be. I mean, I haven't seen him in action Washington as the top guy. Lindy Infante was an excellent offensive coordinator, and he was a horrible head coach. So maybe it's one of those things where Zook was the special teams coordinator in Pittsburgh. So mm-hmm. for a season or two. And I think down in New Orleans, too, that's where McCarthy met him. So maybe he's a guy who's a pretty decent coordinator, but just a bad head coach. That's a possibility.
I didn't realize the Packers had that many problems. I guess you're right. You win so many games by 20 points, you don't really notice. But that's a problem you're talking about when you get that many kicks blocked.
Oh, yeah. I think it was at least one punt and maybe two, and a field goal or two and an extra point in the game against, I think that was the Philadelphia game. They won by a blowout, but they had an extra point blocked late. So, even by the end of the – if they had won that game, the Seattle game, and won the Super Bowl, I think Slocum's job – Sean Slocum was the previous guy. I think his job still would have been in jeopardy.
Now, Clay Matthews made a move from outside to inside. Is that – that's it now permanent? He is an inside backer, or will we see him deployed at various places befitting his massive skill set?
Yeah, a little bit of the latter, but, I think it's going to be a huge majority of his time, it looks like, is going to be on inside. They've got all those different packages. When they go dime, which is when they only have one – linebacker in the middle of the field, he'll go to as an outside rusher.
Okay.
Other than that, he'll be playing inside linebacker, but they do move guys around in just even in their base or their nickel. So there'll be times where he's still, on the outside, but his position, when they line up in the huddle, is he would have been an inside linebacker. They're so weak at that position, and he made such a huge difference. It was against the Bears, in fact, the first time he played that spot. And I think if you look at their stats in the first eight games, they were ranked like in the low 20s in points and yards. And if you only look at the last eight, which is when he moved, was week 9, I think they were top 10 in both, like 8 and 10 or 8 and 11, right in that fringe. So they weren't a great defense, but they were, pretty noticeably better after they moved him.
So you're making a few people happy. There are a few weaknesses on this Packer team, because when you look at them from a Bears perspective, I don't know how many you see, but there are a few problem areas.
Oh, sure. I think their offense is going to be really good. It should be. They could put up a ton of points. I'd be surprised if they don't lead the league. But their defense is vulnerable, and even with Matthews in the middle, they still got scored on plenty. And if he goes down, then the whole thing is it could be a disaster. So he's kind of the Rodgers of their defense as far as his impact. So. Their secondary looks pretty good, though. That bailed them out last year, and that looks like it'll be a strength again this year with their two draft picks. Look like they're both going to help them.
And it seems like most years the Packers end up trying to patch something important on the offensive line. That somebody's hurt or more than one guy's hurt. But it just, as long as that guy is under center, it doesn't really seem to matter. You don't notice it. There's just another big fat guy with a number and seems to be good enough.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Good enough. And it shouldn't matter that much. And really, if you look at quarterbacks and their sack stats, quarterbacks are a huge part of that. They have to get the ball out. Peyton Manning never had – his offensive lines were never any good, and he was always one of the fewest sacked guys in the league. If you don't have the good enough blockers, you just got to get it out and make do and get the first down on the next play.
I noticed Aaron Rodgers, too, been very supportive of Tom Brady. Are they buddies?
He says they're friends. I have no clue how close mm-hmm. It's probably – I don't know if they talk a lot or text a lot or if it's just a more distant thing.
But it seemed to me that especially when Rodgers was quoted as saying, yeah, well, we'd push the limits of how inflated the balls could be, because I kind of liked them overinflated. We'd try to stay on that edge of things. I just think that Rodgers is probably, he's got enough standing in this league to be a reasonable voice to say, hey, we like the balls the way we like them, because this is our work and that's a tool, and this is, we have to have some allowance.
It's not cheating.
And it's not that big a deal. Yeah. I guess I'm with him. If his point was and is in his support for Brady, that the whole thing is just patently ridiculous, I couldn't agree with him more.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to hear that he likes him overinflated. I've got to assume that he's the small minority.